Tonight we're going to look at the announcement. The announcement which the angel Gabriel gave to the Virgin Mary. That's found in Luke chapter 1, 26 to 38 on page 1088 in your Bibles. This is a beautiful passage of the Bible, and honestly, as we read it, we are standing on holy ground. This was the great miracle of the Incarnation. Listen to the Word of God. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one. The Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. So far the reading of this awesome event. Before we open this truth of God, let us seek his guidance in prayer. O Lord, as we stand before this greatest of all events, that the eternal God became man and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten Son of God. The law came through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. O Lord, help us to understand this and to praise your glorious name for this great miracle. In Jesus' name, amen. The conception of Jesus Christ in the womb of Mary is really the mystery of godliness. As the Apostle Paul says in 1 Timothy 3:16, "Great indeed is the mystery of godliness." That God, the eternal God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the glorious I am that I am, that he became man. That he was like us in all things except sin. That he had the same feelings we do, the same emotions, the same understanding. Only his was perfect. He is the Son of God and the Son of Man. And he came into this world and received his human nature through the womb of Mary. What an awesome gift it was to all of us. And what a gift it was to Mary that she should be the mother of our Lord Jesus Christ. So let's look at this, the announcement. That's what it was. It was an announcement. It was a declaration of a fact, of an unrepeatable fact, never to be repeated again, a true miracle. A true act of God Himself, that God entered into human life, that He took upon Himself our human nature without sin. Let's look at three things. First of all, the grace of God. Secondly, the faithfulness of God. And thirdly, the power of God. The grace, the faithfulness, and the power of God. First of all, the grace of God. Within the Christian church, the historic Christian church, there has been a great deal of misunderstanding of what the angels said to Mary. The angels said, "O favored one, the Lord is with you. O favored one." There's some who define that and explain that as Mary is the fountain of grace. That all grace comes through the Virgin Mary. And in order for us to be heard by the Son of God, we have to go through His mother. And she is the one who is the fountain of grace. But do you know that's not what the Lord says? He says to her, "Mary, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Greetings, O favored one. The Lord is with you." And she was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." She is not the fountain of grace. She's the recipient of grace, just as we are. All of us who know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior are recipients of grace. Mary was too. And that's why when she sings her great song of Mary, the great Magnificat, she says, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." She recognized that God had to save her too. She calls Him God my Savior. So the angel said to her, "Mary, you are highly favored." Indeed, she was highly favored. She was favored among all women. No doubt there were other women in Israel who dreamt that maybe they would be the mother of the Messiah. You remember Hannah, the wife of Elkanah, who wanted a son so badly and prayed for one. And she received Samuel. But he was not the Messiah. She was gifted to receive a child, but Elkanah was the father of the child. And now the angel Gabriel comes to Mary. And when did he come to her? In the sixth month, the angel of the Lord, whose name was Gabriel, was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. It was the sixth month. What does that mean? It was the sixth month after God had come to Zechariah. Zacharias, the high priest, as he was in the temple sacrificing to the Lord, and an angel came to him. It was the angel Gabriel, and said to Zacharias, your prayers have been answered, and I will give you a child, a son, and you shall call his name John. That was 6 months before the angel Gabriel came to Mary. So what was happening in the family of Zacharias and Elizabeth is that she was pregnant already 6 months. And so within the family of Zacharias and Elizabeth, God had performed a wonderful miracle too, but it was not the miracle of a virgin birth, because Elizabeth was not a virgin. She received the conception of John the Baptist just as your mother received the conception of you when she conceived you of your father. So Elizabeth is now 6 months along. And that same angel Gabriel comes to the city of Nazareth. It's not a major city. It's certainly not the capital of Israel. He doesn't come to a girl who is a princess, who's in the family of the king, who lives in the palace. No, no, no. He comes to a very simple, God-fearing girl. We don't know how old Mary was. She could have been in her upper teens or low 20s. We don't know. It's not told us. We actually don't know very much about Mary, except we know who her father was. We know her ancestry. Her ancestry is recorded in Luke chapter 3. Joseph's ancestry is recorded in Matthew 1. Both of those ancestors of both Joseph and Mary go back to David and Abraham. But Joseph and Mary were betrothed together. They were engaged. They no doubt had dated. Joseph was a carpenter. He was not of noble birth. He was not part of the king's family. Mary and Joseph were simple people, very simple, but God-fearing. They were God-fearing, and they were looking for the consolation of Israel. They were looking for the Messiah, as every God-fearing woman in Israel was, wondering, maybe I will be the mother. So the angel comes to Mary. It was probably during the day. We don't know what time. And the angel comes to her and says, Mary, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you. You shall be, but she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. She looked at this event through the eyes of an Old Testament person. She knew the Lord. You know that she knew the Lord by the song she sang. She was well aware of the history of Israel. She describes it beautifully in the song she sings, called the Magnificat. And she knows that God was faithful to his people, to his promises. And so Mary receives this marvelous gift of God's sovereign grace. God comes upon her and gives her this wonderful announcement. O highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Now it's really sad that in some circles she is considered the fountain of grace. She is considered the queen of heaven. She is considered a co-redemptrix with Jesus. But that is not what Mary wants at all. She says, my soul doth magnify the Lord, my Savior. She's well aware of the fact that she must have a Savior too. She is highly favored. She certainly is a vehicle by which God's grace comes to us. But Joseph is not the father of this baby. Joseph, God says, as it were, to Joseph, no, Joseph, you are not to be the father of this child. Joseph, you are not involved in this. This is between God and Mary. It's a gift of God's sovereign grace. And he says to Mary, you are highly favored. Of that there is no doubt. It was wonderful favor that God gave to her that she should be the mother of our Lord. And so the angel says to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. And Jesus means Jehovah saves. And Mary hears this word, he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High God, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. What an amazing announcement that the Lord gives to this young lady. Her response is this. How will this be? It is not a question of doubt. It's a question of information. Because she knows she's a virgin. She knows she has never slept with a man. So she asks, how is it possible? So it's a question for information that she asks of the angel. And that question of information is a very good question. And I think the Lord was very happy for that question because then he could give her the proper explanation. And the explanation is absolutely breathtaking. So we see the grace of God in giving Mary this wonderful message of deliverance in Jesus Christ. Now we see the faithfulness of God. Jesus, the angel says to her, he will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Mary was well aware of the Old Testament. You can tell it from the song she sang, the Magnificat. It's filled with Old Testament references. And she knew the Old Testament. She knew the Psalms. Like Psalm 132, where the Lord says, remember how we sing that, gracious Lord, remember David. That it was David whom God said in 2 Samuel chapter 7. And she knew that because she makes reference to it in her song. In 2 Samuel 7, David said to the Lord, "It is not good that God and his ark should be in a tent. I want to make him a house. I want to make a house for the Lord. I want to build a temple for my God." And Nathan heard it first, the prophet. And Nathan went back to the Lord and said, "David wants to build you a house for your ark." And then God said to Nathan, "You go back to David and say, 'No, you're not going to be the builder of this house. In fact, I'm going to build you a house.'" 2 Samuel 7, you see a prophecy of the fact that God will build David a house, and one of David's sons will sit upon his throne forever. 2 Samuel 7 is a prophecy of the kingship of Jesus Christ. And Mary knew that. And so she makes reference to, or the angel Gabriel makes reference to the fact that her son will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Judah, over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. That is the wonderful promise given to Mary. That God was faithful, he remembered his promises. But not only do we see God's grace here, God's faithfulness, but we see God's power. Mary asks this question, "How can this be? How will this be since I am a virgin?" And the angel gives her an answer that's filled with Old Testament references. "The Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born of you will be called Holy, the Son of God." That's all in Old Testament terms. What does overshadowing refer to? It's so interesting. In the book of Exodus, you read that Moses could not go into the tabernacle because it was overshadowed by God's presence. God overshadowed that tabernacle that showed his presence. That overshadowing came over Mary. God overshadowed her with his presence. And in the shadow, in the shade, in the reflection of God's presence, the Holy Spirit conceived within the womb of Mary a child. It was unrepeatable. It was a true and holy miracle that God created a human being in the womb of Mary. Later in Jesus' life, there were those who said of him, "Blessed is the womb that bore you, and blessed is the one who was nursed by you." And Jesus deflected that word of blessing from the people and said, "No, but blessed are those who keep the words of the Lord. They are blessed." So Mary did not want credit. She did not want credit. But God, in his wonderful creation miracle, overshadowed Mary. Now, what happened in creation, in Genesis 1, the same thing happened. God created this universe by the word of his power. He spoke and it came to pass. He commanded and it stood fast. Everything that was created by God's word. God spoke and it happened. In John 1, you remember these words. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. He is the Creator. Last Sunday night, we heard about Jesus' first miracle. You know how he created wine out of water? He did it by the word of his mouth. It was a creation of pure and beautiful wine out of water. He spoke and it happened. The best wine takes a long time to make. Years. But there, the very best that the master of the feast tasted was made immediately. That shows God's, Christ's creative power, which was referred to in chapter 1. All things were made by him, and without him was not one thing that was made. In him is life. The life is the light of men. It is that same powerful Holy Spirit that descended upon the earth. You read that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was waste and void, and darkness was over the earth. And the Spirit of God hovered over the waters. The Spirit of God hovered over the waters, just as the Holy Spirit hovered over the womb of Mary. That's the Holy Spirit's work. He's the creator of life. The Nicene Creed reflects on that when it says, "And I believe in the Holy Spirit of God, the giver and the provider of life." All life comes from the Holy Spirit. All life. Human life, animal life, fish life, bird life, even the life of a lowly worm comes from the Spirit of God. God is the maker of life. And here we see it in the womb of Mary, that the Holy Spirit descended upon her and overshadowed her. Therefore, the child to be born shall be called Holy, the Son of God. And do you know what else? The only way you and I can come to salvation is that the Holy Spirit comes upon us. You remember how it says that again in John 1. He came unto his own and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the sons and daughters of God, who were born not of the flesh, not of the will of man, but who were born of God. That means that you and I are saved by a virgin birth. It's not of works. Paul reflects on that in Ephesians chapter 2. When he says we are saved by grace through faith and not of ourselves, that means we are virgin born spiritually. It's a gift of the Holy Spirit that he overshadows us. And we have to pray that the Holy Spirit may overshadow everyone who hears his word. For no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. He is the Lord and giver of life. And so that's how It was explained to Mary. The Holy Spirit shall come upon you, and the power of the highest shall overshadow you, so that the holy thing that is born of you shall be called the Son of God. And then the angel Gabriel knows, God knows, that it's difficult for Mary to comprehend this. And so the angel says to her, your relative is Elizabeth. And this is the sixth month of her who was called barren. For nothing is impossible with God. Isn't that a wonderful fact? Nothing is impossible with God. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or imagine. And so the Lord says to Mary, I want you to make a visit to Elizabeth, because she will understand what happened. She will understand how she, who is far past childbearing age, and her husband far past the ability to conceive, that she is in her sixth month, and that the stirring in her womb is truly a gift of God. She will understand. And I want you to talk to her. And you and she can have a wonderful time of Christian fellowship. What happened to her is what's happening to you. Only Zacharias is the father of the child that Elizabeth is bearing, but the Holy Spirit is the father of the one Mary is bearing. So God says, no, Joseph, you are not the one. You are not going to receive a child. No, you're going to receive one, but you're not going to conceive one. Joseph, you're not going to conceive this child, but you will receive this child. You will receive this child as a gift just like we do. And Mary will receive this child too. And you know what Mary's response to all this is? Behold, the handmaiden of the Lord. Be it to me as you have said. That's all that was required of Mary, is that she believes the word of the Lord. That this great event would come upon her, that she would be called highly favored, and that Mary would bear the child who is the Son of God and the Son of Man. What an awesome truth this is. This is why we celebrate Christmas. The great miracle of Christmas didn't actually occur on Christmas Day, because Jesus was born just like you are and I was. The great miracle was the conception of Jesus Christ, that he was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. So we who are sinful and who need salvation require a miracle. And that miracle was given. How we praise the Lord for that. Great is the mystery of godliness, that God became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. Do you know this Savior? Do you stand in awe of this as we sing those great carols? God in Christ is reconciled. Hark the Herald Angels Sing is the most theological of all the carols. Hark the Herald Angels Sing, glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. He is the Son of Righteousness with healing in His wings, and He's for you and for me. And everyone said, amen. Lord, bless this word unto our hearts today. Thank You for the great miracle of the incarnation of Jesus Christ. Bless us now, Lord. Keep us in the hollow of Your hand. In Jesus' name, amen.